Welcome to Lunchtime Frights. I'm your host, David. On today's Lunchtime Frights, we serve up a tasty tale of revenge with a side order of spine-tingling gore. Enjoy. It's not dark yet at the graveyard, but it sure is scary. Bats flutter around the headstones. The wind howls in a way that makes you wonder if it's a good idea to be here. But you know it is, because it's the only way to save yourself from the torment. And you know that if you don't do what you're about to do, the demons will be back. And they will not spare you. It started weeks ago, running into a friend from high school, Tommy.
Dude, did you hear about what happened to Andy?
You tell him you haven't, but when you learn that Andy died in a car accident, it doesn't surprise you. Because weird things have been happening this week. Footsteps outside of your home, taps on your window. Objects in your house that seem to disappear, then reappear for no reason. But most of all, it's those cries in the night. Those screams. Those are Andy's screams. You'd know those screams anywhere. Because you and Tommy and your other friends made those screams happen on the regular. You teased him, laughed at his clothes, his glasses, and mostly those teeth. Sharp, oddly shaped, and oversized, they made him look like a vampire. It was hilarious at the time. But somehow it's not so funny anymore. When you think of those teeth, those nerdy glasses, those ill-fitting clothes, laughing is the last thing you want to do now. What you want to do now is lift whatever curse he's brought to you.
Dude, here's the thing,
Tommy says, jolting you out of your trance.
Me and some of the guys are going to get together tomorrow night, talk about what we can do to, you know, fix things.
Tommy lifts his hand, points to his ring finger, and you instantly know what he's talking about. He's talking about the ring. The one you stole from him when you and the guys wanted to take a trip to Tijuana, but didn't have the money. It turned out that the ring had some value. It was a family heirloom given to Andy by his sweet, dying grandmother. Tommy walks off without saying a word, fading into the night like a criminal afraid of getting busted. You take off as well. Get home quickly and stare at the ceiling for hours when you should be sleeping. All night long, you hear something scraping against your back window. But you don't check it, because you know who that is. And you know why he is here. The meeting with the guys is somber and sad. No joking. No reminiscing about better days. Just five guys seated in a coffee shop corner, voices low, barely above whispers. After some heated disagreement, it's decided that you need to replace Andy's ring. After all, it was you who wanted to take it, and you who did the taking. You don't like the idea, but you can't deny the logic. You were the ringleader of this circus of cruelty, and that's why you're having nightmares and hearing screams in the night. After reluctantly agreeing to do what needs to be done, you leave the coffee shop and visit your aging grandmother. At her age, she doesn't remember much, just fleeting memories of days gone past. You ask how she's been, how she's holding up, and most of all, you ask for the stories. but you're not here for nostalgia. You're here because you see something on her finger that could fix things with Andy. You ask if she wants something to drink, and she says yes, with eyes that have never been warmer. You make her a milkshake, something nice and thick. Thick enough that she won't notice a little bit of codeine. Not enough to harm her, but enough to help her drift into a nap, so she won't notice the ring slipping off her finger. 2 hours later, Grandma wakes up, feeling refreshed. Just as you're leaving, she has a question for you.
Honey, did you see the ring in my kitchen?
You give her a loving pat on the head. Tell her it's okay that her memory is failing. At her age, it's not that unusual. But she seems to remember your grandfather just fine. The way he dropped to a knee and proposed to her after a 12-hour graveyard shift as a janitor in a hospital.
Your grandfather saved up for months.
You block out the rest, because if you don't, you will never find the nerve to do what you do next. You walk into the graveyard, creeping up slowly. It's not dark yet, but it's getting there. Your limbs are noodles, your eyes darting around, unsure of what might leap from the shadows. In one pocket, you have a flashlight. In the other, your grandmother's ring. When you find Andy's headstone, you kneel down and try to find the words. But there are no words, really. You know what Andy wants, and you hope the ring is enough. With a shaky hand, you reach into your pocket and pull it out. Then you set it on the headstone, and you hear and see nothing. You rise up and move away. Maybe that's it. Maybe the silence tells you everything you need to know. But as you backpedal away, the silence is ripped to shreds. Andy's laugh fills the graveyard as the sky goes dark and empty. Out of nowhere, a downpour hits you, each droplet like molten lava against your skin, tearing your clothes away, stinging your face and hands. Worst of all, you can't resist the pull. You want to leave, but you can't. Andy is pulling you closer and closer into the headstone. A hand juts out from the grave below, grasping your neck. Breathing is hard. Air is getting scarce. Your body grows weaker. Your vision blurs and your limbs go numb. The hand is dirty, filled with blood, scrapes, scars. It barely looks human, but you know those chubby fingers anywhere.
As you run out of air, an idea hits you.
You reach for the ring, but you can't find it. You pat the ground frantically. You arch your neck to try to spot it, but it's too dark. You jab a second hand into the other pocket, yanking out the flashlight, then clicking it on. But where is that ring? You see it. Take it into your hand and reach up with it just as the air is running out. You slip the ring on the ring finger and hope for the best. And everything stops. No more rain, no more thunder, no more darkness. The sun is out again, arching high above your head as you breathe again. Laying on your back and grinning into the cloudless sky. Andy approves. You just know it. You meet with the guys in the coffee shop again. Nothing but smiling faces all around. You propose a trip to Tijuana, a celebration of your newfound freedom. The nightmare is over. But as you head to the van outside, you catch a glimpse of yourself in the mirror across the coffee shop. Something about you is different. Your aura, your soul, and most of all, your teeth. They are sharp and oddly misshapen. As you watch the guys elatedly pile into the van, you know they will never make it to Tijuana, because you owe an awfully big debt to Andy, and your grandmother's ring only begins to pay it. Hours later, the police are baffled. You give them a sob story about coming back to the van after taking a leak at the gas station restroom and finding their bodies like that. Mangled, half-eaten, necks carved open with fang marks. None of this makes sense to anybody except you. But if you can keep a secret, what's the harm? You get home and sleep like an infant. You can still hear noises in the night, but they mean something different now. Those screams are the screams of a co-conspirator. You're not laughing at Andy anymore. You're laughing with him. Thank you for joining us on Lunchtime Frights. I'm your host, David. If you found today's episode sufficiently frightening, please give us 5 stars and a good review. We would appreciate it. For more tales of terror, check out coppervox.com. We'll catch you next week. So you better run fast.